Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December 30th, 2021. Won't be saying that much longer. Only 2 days left in the year, 15 minutes past the hour here at WWGH Radio. Now remember, we will be on the air tomorrow morning, but we will not be on Monday morning. We're going to take the holiday on Monday like we did with Christmas, but we will be with you all morning tomorrow, New Year's Eve, from 8 a.m. until 1 in the afternoon. Now this is going to be a fun hour because we got a gentleman in here who's been a part of this station since day one, nearly 8 years ago now. He spent many years with Charlie Evers once a month, and I've known George, got to be well over 20 years at this point. And it's always a pleasure to hear him come on the radio, and he's about to head into his 90th year in 2022. That will certainly be a milestone. Legendary restaurateur, entertainer, raconteur here in Marion. So glad he's still coming in on the fourth Thursday. George Kasotis. George, how are you?
Hello, Scott. God bless you. Happy holidays. We've had a beautiful holiday. Wow.
Back from a big vacation.
Well, yeah, because that's the only time we can do that is at Christmas time. Every Christmas, we go somewhere. But our favorite place happens to be a little suburb of Orlando, Florida called Celebrations. And that's a nice little suburb of Orlando, but it's owned by Disney. You know, Walt owns everything. And he made a little town called Celebrations, and it's a suburb of Orlando. And the reason of that, Disney, the executive guys at Disney thought, why not make a little town so they don't have to pay to get into Disney? Because you have to pay hundreds of dollars to get into Disney, you know? But they have this little town of Celebrations that people don't have to pay to get in. But they have all the same things that they have in the Disney. They have Disney World. They have Epcot Center. They've got, well, they don't call it Epcot, but to get into Disney, you got, you know, Epcot, that's hundreds and hundreds of dollars per person, even children. But Celebrations, you don't pay to get in.
Now, how much did it used to cost to get in Crystal Lake down here, George?
Oh, what? 25 cents.
25 cents. It's a different world now between Crystal Lake and Disney World.
Oh, Crystal Lake was nice, though. That water behind the Hamilton House. You know where the Hamilton House was?
I do.
Oh, Ham. We used to call Hamilton. We called him Ham instead of Hamilton. And Ham would come in my restaurant every day and say, George, give me my soup. I got to get back to work. In his 90s, you know? I think he lived to be 100.
I think 104.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Oliver or Merle?
Oliver.
Oliver, I think, was 104.
Yeah. Well, we called him Ham.
Yeah. He was quite a guy.
Oh, my God. And but that Hamilton Stone Quarry became Crystal Lake. And that water was so crystal clear. Crystal Lake was beautiful. You know what they called it before Crystal Lake?
What's that?
Sea Camp Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was an army set that up. They had a roller coaster there right on the road going around 4 North, there was a roller coaster there.
Now, who was in charge of Crystal Lake? Who was the owner? Do we know? Or was it like a group of people?
Actually, the Hamiltons owned it.
Did they own it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
They had that whole area. And now it's a stone quarry. What's that called? It's another name I can't think of it.
Well, you know what's always interesting to me? The old, what was that? Was it Bargain City out there?
Well, yeah, Bargain City started.
That building is still there. That's one of the few buildings they have not torn down. Is there anything in that building now?
No, it's empty. It's empty. Cobwebs. Oh, God, I remember George Gates. That was crazy times. George Gates got in a fight with the manager. Shot him right there in the
shot him.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't waste any time.
No, he went to prison. George went to prison. And guess what? I think George is still in prison.
Oh, well, he might be for sure. I think we're getting a call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott asked George if Crystal Lake's still there.
Is Crystal Lake is still there?
Crystal Lake is still there.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is.
Isn't there a house built back there?
Yeah, there is a house back there now.
I heard that they filled that lake in, but.
No, they didn't fill it in. It's still back there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Yeah, if anybody has a question about old-time Marion, George would know.
There was a big raft, a wooden raft, that stuck this high out of the water. And I swam out there one day, and because I could swim underwater and stay under there pretty long. So I swam under the raft, and I looked up, and there was an opening, a box about this big. And I went up, and I put my head in there, and I could breathe.
Oh. Well,
nobody knew this. There was a platform, a stone platform with a diving board. And Dee Price used to do the 2.5. Well, you don't know the Price brothers, but Dee used to do the 2.5 back then. And I could do 1.5, but not the 2.5, off the diving board. So I dove in one time, and I told the people, I can stay underwater for 5 minutes. They said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. So I dove in, went under the board,
right,
the raft, and I put my head up under there, and I breathed, and I stayed under there for a couple minutes. And I came back out, and I came up, and all my, well, we were like sophomore, junior, seniors in high school, and it must have been 20, 30, 40, 50 people up there. And they said, he stayed under there for 5 minutes. What do you got, gills?
Now, I want to get back. Now, so what? Who shot who here? I want to get this story down.
Oh, George Gates.
Now, who was George Gates?
Oh, you don't know. It was just a kid in Marion.
Or just a guy?
Just a guy.
So why did he shoot somebody?
They got in an argument.
Oh.
I think George picked something up maybe and was going to go out the door, and the manager grabbed him. And George was kind of a rough and tough guy. He shot the man. He had a gun on him.
Right out at Bargain City.
Right at Bargain City.
Goodness gracious.
I think Gates is still in prison.
Well, do you know if the guy lived who got shot?
Oh, yeah, he died.
Oh, that's good. Oh, he died from the shot,
yeah.
From the gunshot wound?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would
that's
put you in prison.
George went to prison.
Yeah, that would put you in prison. Yeah, that would do it. That would lock you away. So George was a young guy, George Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, that's Marion history you don't read about in the history book.
Oh, you don't read about that. Nobody knows these stories that I know in Marion.
Well, I wanted to ask you, George, you spent so much time downtown, and we just passed the holidays. What was holiday time, Christmas time, like in the climax of downtown Marion, in the height?
In the 40s, in the 50s. Oh, don't forget, my mother and I started our first restaurant. It was the late 30s. The home restaurant, but we moved up to 131, where I ended up after mother retired. From the late 30s, we really, really hit the business around 1942. That's when we really started cooking and serving people, and it was called the Crest Restaurant, because back then, my mother was an, what was she? What do they call my... I've said that name a million times. A prohibitionist. My mother was a prohibitionist. She said, George, no liquor, no beer, no wine. I said, why, Mom? She said, the church people won't come, George. I said, the church people? I said, Mom, that's who's asking for the wine.
That's right.
Back then, in the late 30s, early 40s, prohibition was on.
Oh, absolutely.
No alcohol. No.
Now, did that have a big effect on Marion prohibition?
Oh, yes.
I bet
oh,
it did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those ladies would go around and tell people, don't drink. Go to church. Pray.
Yeah. Well, that blew right out quickly, though.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when Prohibition went away, did we see a lot of bars open up downtown?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Everybody was opening a bar. There were so many bars downtown Marion. It was crazy.
Now, what was the bar that everybody went to? What was the popular bar?
The biggest bar was called the Ritz.
Oh, the Ritz.
The Ritz Bar and Grill, owned by Mike Nicolosi's dad.
Oh, really?
Beanie. Yeah, Beanie Nicolosi owned the Ritz Bar and Grill. That was the number one bar in Marion, Ohio, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Now, why was that a popular place?
In the back of the bar, there were two bartenders, Sammy Rizzo And, oh my God, Phil. Phil and Sammy were the two bartenders. That bar was the longest bar in Marion, and they had two big drawers, wooden drawers like this, with thousands of dollars in it. And all the workers at Power Shovel, Universal Cooler, all of the plants, the steel mills. I think we had four or five steel mills in Marion. And they would take their checks and go in the Ritz, and they would check, they cash their checks and drink. And the phone was ringing off the wall. Is my husband there? No, I'm not here. And they're drinking after work, you know? And the babies need milk and stuff, and they're spending their money drinking. Oh. And that happened back in the 30s and the 40s.
Now, did they serve any kind of food there, or did they have entertainment?
What they had is pretzels and peanuts on the bar, and these guys are drinking beer and drinking liquor, or beer and a liquor, a shot and a beer chaser, eating pretzels and peanuts, and smoking and talking.
Having a good time. They were having a good time back in those days.
Well, I guess I didn't think that was a good time.
No. Or they probably didn't make it to where we are now. Unfortunately.
Scott, the times were so different. Oh my God! But it was clean fun. I mean, you know, they weren't getting to it. Oh, every once in a while, somebody would say something wrong and get in a fight.
Now, the police were a lot more lax back in those days, weren't they? Yeah.
Hoffman, old man Hoffman, was the beat guy. He was the policeman on the beat with the billy club, you know. He's always swinging, walking down South Main Street with his billy club. You know how they flip that billy club? And old Mr. Hoffman, he was the man on the beat, but he couldn't do anything because he was older. He was in his 40s and 50s back then. But I still have a police book of the 40s and the 50s of all the old policemen that were on the beat, and also sheriff. I have a book from the sheriff's department. So far, we went through 7 sheriffs and since the late 30s, early 40s. And I knew all 7 of them. Oh my goodness! In the late 30s, early 40s, and so far with this new sheriff now, we've had 7 since the late 30s, early 40s.
Sheriffs tend to stay a long time in Marion.
Oh yeah.
We have sheriffs for a long time.
One of our best sheriffs of all times was called Max Ross.
Oh, I remember Max.
You remember Max?
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
He was a tough guy.
He won 2 state championships with St. Mary's.
Yes.
Football coach and teacher at St. Mary's. Max was a strong guy. Oh, my God. I was in the restaurant one day and looking out the window, and he pulled up, his cruiser pulled up because there was a red light. He was going north on South Main Street right across from me at my restaurant. Across the street was another restaurant called Two Roths. You remember Two Roths?
I do.
Well, he pulled up in his cruiser, and at a stoplight, there were 2 ladies standing out in front of Two Roths restaurant. It was summertime, in their summer dresses and hat and their purses. And these 2 young kids came by and grabbed the purses and ran down the alley. Well, Max saw that. I saw that. I was inside my window in my restaurant. Max saw that. He jumped out of the cruiser, ran down the alley. I went out the front door, and right behind Max, I was running, and we went and ran down that alley, and we got clear down to the next section, and we tackled those 2 boys. Max picked up one, and I picked up one, and we carried him back and told those boys, hand the purses to those ladies. Because they were there screaming, going, And the boys handed the purses back to the 2 ladies. Max slapped him a couple of times, bang, bang, bang. You boys ever do that again, and I'll put you in jail. You hear me? And he was shaking him, and I was shaking mine. And we let them down, and they took off. And Max grabbed me, and he said, "George, thank you." He says, "I couldn't have got both of them, but with your help." And from that day on, he made me a special deputy. So I carry a card, a special deputy card.
Well, you know, he was, you know, you did not want to mess around with Max.
Oh, no way. No. Well, look at Matt, our new sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
He's about 7 foot eight or 6 foot eight. He's a huge guy.
Yeah. It's interesting because I interviewed Max a couple of times. He just passed away in the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
But Max, even in his later days, he was still a very big, strong, solid guy.
We had a homecoming from him at the Catholic club out on East Center Street. And there were hundreds of people there. And when I walked up to him, he got up and grabbed me and hugged me. And he said, "George, I'll never forget that time when we captured those two boys."
Now, during Christmas and New Year's downtown, what were the decorations like back in the 40s and 50s?
Oh, much more than they are today.
Yeah.
Oh, it was everything. We had wrapped around all of the light posts. We had flags. We had, it was just amazing. We put too much, actually, they don't do that much today. Now, some cities do more than we do, but Marion has cut down on Christmas decorations. It's still pretty nice, but not as fancy. Well, they lit up something in front of the corner building, the old National City Bank building. That was all lit
Yeah, the
up.
Treca building down huh? there. Treca. I think Treca's in there now.
Yeah, Treca's in there now. They had these trucks with the big putting stuff at the top. Was it the trees or the building?
I think it was the trees.
The trees, yeah.
Looked very nice.
That's the nicest I've seen downtown for years.
Yeah, it really. And I thought they did a good job with Founders Park this year.
Oh yeah, Founders Park looked good.
They had Santa's little house there. And
yeah, yeah.
Now, what are your remembrances of the mall, George? Because it's not doing so well these days.
Not at all.
No.
The mall was always busy at Christmas time. I mean, hundreds of people were in that mall. And I knew the mall manager. Well, I knew the two brothers, the Italian brothers that came down from Cleveland. I can't even think of their names now, but it was an Italian name. And they came to when they opened up the mall, they came to my restaurant and said, "We want you to open up a restaurant in the mall." So they had a big room in the middle of the mall for me to open up a restaurant. So I went out there with them, and they said, "You fill this room with your equipment, and you can sell your food, but you have to pay me rent, and then I get a percentage of your business." In other words, they wanted me to put the equipment in, charge me a rent, and then they wanted a percentage of my business. And I said, what was their name? I can't think of
it. Cafaro. Was it Cafaro?
Cafaro.
Yeah.
The Cafaro brothers. And I said, "You want me to equip this room, you want me to, you're going to charge me rent, and then you're going to take a percentage of my business." I said, "I'm sorry, but I can't do business with you."
Yeah. Well, and I think that was a lot of the setup out there in the mall was, you know, that led to the end of it.
They just wanted too much. That's why it ended.
Now, didn't the Cafaros also own the Plaza Shopping Center?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Cafaros wanted everything. I said, "Yeah, I can't do business with you like that." But they came to my restaurant, ate, and they liked the food that I had, and they wanted me to start a restaurant out there. The only one that started a restaurant out there. Come on, he's a restaurant. He has down by the Palace Theater. He has that restaurant. What's his name?
Down there now.
Hmm.
Is he down there now?
Yeah, he has that restaurant down past the Palace Theater.
I'm trying to think who that would be.
He has an Italian restaurant. He has opened one up in Delaware now.
Oh, okay. Kildow.
Tim Kildow.
Yeah.
he opened up a he went with the Caffaro brothers and opened up a restaurant in the mall called Starvin' Marvin's.
Oh, I remember that. Starvin' Marvin's. I remember Starvin' Marvin's. Yeah. They did a business.
That was Tim Kildow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, one business that is always busy here in Marion is the House of Hunan. Boy, they do a business out there behind the mall.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Peter Lowe and his son. Oh, my God. Frank's in charge now. Peter retired, and Frank, this oldest son, him and my son Chris are like brothers. And Chris worked for Frank for a long time, but he doesn't now. Chris is teaching. Frank and Peter and Penny Lowe were the two owners. Wow, the food there is so good. I've had people come in to visit me from different areas of the country. And I've taken them to the House of Hunan, and they said, "Wow, what a restaurant!"
It's very that. And the other night, I passed by El Campesino out there on Delaware Avenue.
They're doing
packed.
Yeah,
packed.
El Campesino is doing good.
It's interesting because these you know, we have different types of foods, you know, Mexican and what is House of Hunan? Is that Chinese, Japanese?
House of Hunan
Chinese.
Chinese.
You know, I don't think there would have been a big call for that maybe 30 years ago, but now people love it.
It's been busy since they opened. Because Peter Lowe was quite a chef, and he still is, but he helps his son, Frank, because Frank Lowe is now the owner. And Peter and Penny are retired. But they're great people. You couldn't find better people than the Lowe family.
Now, the restaurant that was just over here, now, wasn't that Ross's?
Ross Morbid.
Was that who owned that?
Yeah, Ross Morbid.
Now, that seemed to be a popular place for a long time.
Oh, that was, they were open 24 hours.
Yeah, they were.
They were busy day and night there. That was that family called the Morbid family. And Ross Morbid, Charlie Morbid was the oldest. He was the city recreation director for years. He lived out there by way out there where Ted Graham's plant was. There was a house there that the city owned, and he lived there for. Charlie Morbid was the they up in the north. Park clip in north, they built a hill that's called the Morbid Hill. I don't know if you ever remember that.
I do.
When it snowed, the kids would slide down that Morbid. Well, it was named after Charlie Morbid. And Charlie was the, he had a little store on North Main Street that resurfaced couches and chairs. That was his business. But they named him City Parks Director. And Charlie Morbid was a great guy. Wonderful guy.
See you. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, it was in the 80s when Tim Kildow started at Starvin' Marvin's.
The 80s when Tim Kildow did Starvin' Marvin's. Now, what did you like to eat out at Starvin' Marvin's?
Oh, yeah, good hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
But Tim Kildow graduated in 79.
Oh, is that right?
You know, from Pleasant High School, you know, same as I did. So, you know, it was in the 80s when he had that.
Oh, well, very interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
You know, in the 60s and 70s, I don't know what was a big restaurant out there, but I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't. What year did the mall open? Do you remember, George, about what 60s. Time? 60s?
60s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of put it together out there.
You got Baskin-Robbins out there in the mall, too.
Baskin-Robbins. They were out there.
You know,
yeah.
A place like that has to be in a high traffic area.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, downtown now, they have a fairly decent amount of restaurants that seem to be doing okay. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Marcella's doing good. Chris Renke, whatever his name is, has the... he has started now the Harbor, Harding Harbor. I don't know how he's doing at the Harbor, but I've been there two or three times, and the food was great. And he has attaboys also.
It's hard to find good seafood. in Marion.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But well, the harbor does well.
Chris Rentke, I think is his name, has attaboys. He's opened up Harding Harbor now, but he's only open like 5 o'clock. The harbor. Have you ever been in the harbor?
I went one time I was in there, but I didn't get a chance to eat.
Yeah, yeah. It's just small little, the front room of that Hotel Harding, and he calls it the Harding Harbor, and it's, he does some great, he has some great dishes. Just for snacks, after we, I think before we go to the Palace Theater, or after the Palace Theater, he has a bowl of chopped up seafood and a spread, and it's only like $5 or $6, and with chips. And you can have a beverage and some chips, and that is really nice.
Now, the Harding Hotel used to be the place to go.
Oh, back in the... In the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, the first chef at the Hotel Harding was Leon Bomas, 1928. And up to the 30s and the 40s, and then in the 40s, let's see, in the 40s I was at Central, well, the county building is now, was called Central Junior High School, and that's where I was in the ninth grade. And I would, after school, I'd walk over and go in the back door of the Hotel Harding, and I knew Chef Bomas because he was happened to be Greek, and I would speak, because I spoke fluent Greek, and I would speak Greek to Leon, and he would show me how he was roasting the steamboat round. The steamboat round, every Saturday and Sunday, every weekend, they would have steamboat round, and there would be 40, 50, 60, 70 pounders, and you could slice off that beef. And it would melt in your mouth. It was so delicious. Roast beef. And Mr. Bomas was known for his roast beef. And people would just fill that Hotel Harding. Not only downstairs in that front dining room where the harbor is now, but up in the balcony, there were tables. And then in the ballroom, there were tables. That ballroom and all around that balcony were tables for people were eating roast beef.
Now, were they busy as a hotel, too? Did the hotel part stay busy?
You mean today?
Oh, back then.
Back then, it was packed.
Yeah.
You couldn't find a seat on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
What caused it to go downhill, where it was closed there for a few years?
It just kept selling it. They've sold it three or four, had auctions and sold it. And I was at an auction one time, was it, in front? And this was after the Hand Group. You remember that group, HAND, Home and Neighborhood Development?
Right.
However, that Hand thing, and inside, if you go in the front door, right there by the rest of the harbor, there's a big metal plaque, and it says HAND. That Hand Group screwed it up completely.
Really?
Yeah. And all those guys' names are on there. I don't know why they put those names on there, because they did nothing. They were just a board. You know who did the most work?
Who's that?
Me.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I mean, the guy that came from Cleveland that started this thing, that got so much money from the government to reinforce it, to make it a home for low-income families. That's what it was all about, a home for income. And because he came to my restaurant and he says, George, if you start a restaurant in there, which I'm asking you to help me start a restaurant, we can get government funds. Hundreds of thousands of dollars they were getting to build this. And so they had a truck, a train, empty car, not an empty car train, it was open, and they had this big hole in the back of the building, and you won't believe the stories. Somehow, he got our prison out here, to get 14 or 15 prisoners to come in and tear out the rooms. And they had this train car, open train car, and they're throwing chairs, tables, lamps, everything that wasn't sold at the auction, out there into the train car. And those 15 guys, he told me, he said, George, you got to feed these guys. So I fed them every day, month after month after month. I'm feeding them, not getting any money, taking care of that. And I've got all these records. I kept them. And I've got all these records, what I did. And after this group came in, working with him, was going to refurbish it. But they needed a restaurant in the and downstairs, where the harbor is now, plus the back room where, the back room is Chamber of Commerce. That was a dining room way before the Chamber of Commerce.
Hmm.
And I was going to have a restaurant and a dining room, and I was going to feed the city of Marion, plus the low-income people could come down and they'd have a special menu for them. All this happened, and all of a sudden, something about the windows. They had fixed the windows, but they had to replace them. They came in, and some government people came in and said, you have to replace them. So they said, George, we're short $400,000.
No.
We want you to go to four banks and get $100,000 each and give it to us, and we'll fix that up, and then we can open up. And of all people who's passed away now, who was the president of the hand group, her name was Nancy Sitterly. You remember that name?
I don't remember her, no.
You don't remember Nancy?
No.
She was president of a lot of groups in Marion, the Palace Cultural Arts Association. She was president of different things. She said, George, don't give them the money because you'll never get it back.
So this was not a popular group?
No.
No.
The hotel went through so many problems over the years after the days of Mr. Bomas, the cooking that, you know, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. Then when he passed away, it went in, I think Ludwig took over. Cleo Ludwig bought the building, started a nightclub in the basement. You don't remember those days.
Now, was this the Key Club?
The Key Club.
Yeah, no, I've heard about that. Now, what was that all about?
Mr. Cleo Ludwig had the money to buy the hotel. And then the day here was another great story, is that when they had the auction to sell it again, after Cleo died, they had to sell it again. We're out in front with an auctioneer. The streets are closed off. And they were going to sell the building, right? I'm standing next to, I should remember his name, and I can't. They said, the first bid, you know, it has to be $100,000 or more. Well, they couldn't get a $100,000 bid. So Jim Neff, he had a store out east of Marion. You don't remember Jim, but Jim bid $80,000. And then somebody else bid $100,000. That hotel went for just a few, I don't even think it was $100,000. They sold it, an eight-story building.
Gee whiz.
But what happened was some kids went in there and tore out some plumbing, and the water came down from the balcony onto the floor downstairs, and all of that. It was a mess.
Now, when they turned it into the senior center, they redid a lot of that in there, didn't they?
Well, they had to do a reload.
Yeah.
Because during the auction, when they had an auction outside, and they were selling tables and chairs before the hand group took over. This guy came from Cleveland. I've got the records. I've got his name and everything. I can't think of it now. But the hotel, it went through so many changes and so many different problems that came up. With that hand group. Oh. But who came up with Home and Neighborhood Development, HAND?
Now, who owned the hotel when Mr. Bomas was there?
Virgil Dye.
Now, he knew what he... Now, is he the one? Did he jump?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell that, because that's an interesting story. Poor guy.
I was there when he did that.
When he jumped.
When he jumped.
He jumped out the window.
I heard him hit the awning out in front. He jumped over, hit that awning, bang.
So he owned the Harding Hotel.
He owned the Harding. Well, he was the manager and part owner.
So
there were some other guys involved, but Virgil Dye ran the operation.
So why did he do this? Does anybody know?
Why did he jump?
Yeah, why did he jump?
I'm supposed to know why.
Was he having financial trouble or something?
Yeah, he was messing around with a couple of ladies.
Oh, well, that'll do it, too. That'll get you in trouble every time. Yeah.
I think one was... she came into my restaurant one time, and he was the manager of Euler Phillips. Carrie Phillips. You remember that name?
Oh, yes. President Harding knew her very well.
Yep, Carrie came into my restaurant. I knew Carrie.
Now, was she a nice woman?
She was gorgeous. You ought to have seen the clothes she wore. Oh, Carrie was... She was a beautiful lady. Euler Phillips Department Store.
Yeah.
The manager of the Euler Phillips Department Store brought her into my restaurant.
So now Virgil died. So you were downstairs when he jumped out the window?
He jumped off of the roof.
He went to the roof.
He went to the roof.
Oh, he didn't jump out the window. He went clear to the roof of the Harding Hotel.
Yeah. But he wanted to make a dynamic.
He wanted to make sure that he was got the job done. So he just jumped off.
Yeah.
And he hit the awning.
He hit the awning, that great big awning that was out in front.
Ah.
Thud. Boom.
Oh, boy. That was the end of him.
Yep.
Yeah. So you were just out there that day?
No, I was in the... dining or the room, the restaurant there, obviously you go in on the left, that dining room where Harding Harbor is right now. I was in there with Leon Bomas's son, Steve. Leon had died, and Steve took over, the son of Leon Bomas, Steve Bomas, and I was with Steve, talking with Steve, and we heard this thud, and that was Virgil Dye.
Now, I think that would hurt business. If you know.
No, everybody came to see what happened.
It helped business for him to do that. Only if he could have stuck around a little longer.
Yeah, Virgil.
That's terrible. He wasn't that old a guy, was he?
No, I don't think he was in his 50s. Maybe.
That's terrible. Poor man. So there were a couple things going. We had the guy shot out at Bargain City, and the guy jumping off the roof of the Harding Hotel. There was all kinds of trouble.
Notable city problems with the city, you know, and they say, well, a lot of cities around would say, wow, we've never heard of things like
that. We even got into that. Now, Carrie Phillips, after President Harding died, did she go out much? You don't hear much of her out in public.
Not that much.
Because she lived into the 50s. I don't think she died till like 52 or 53.
Yeah.
But she would come in and eat.
Well, she the manager at Euler Phillips Department Store, brought her in my restaurant and served them. And boy, she was dressed. She would always be beautifully dressed, you know, with all kinds of jewelry and beautiful jewelry and stuff. She was no cheapskate.
Was it well known in those days that she was having affairs with the president?
She wasn't having affairs just with the president.
There were other people.
There were other guys.
Well,
might have been Virgil Dye.
Could have been. Wasn't good ending. You know, George. One time you told a story on here with Charlie about and I can't remember the woman's name. I hope you remember this, but she was a big wig here in Marion, and she wouldn't leave her house, and you would have to go up and help her. You would bring her food, or was it a man? I can't remember the story you told. But you said that you would help her with her hair and her outfits, but she never left her house or her apartment. I think it was a business person. I'm going to have to find that tape. But that she did not go out.
Boy, that's a good one.
Who were the big ladies back in those days?
Who were the big ladies?
Yeah, who had the money around here back in... back in the 40s and 50s.
40s and 50s, monies.
Cary Phillips had some money.
Oh, well, Cary Phillips had lots of money. Oh, wow. What's his name? Had the Buick garage before McDaniels.
Oh, we're getting a call here, George. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I think the lady lived above his restaurant or something.
Yeah, you remember that story?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it again, yeah.
Okay,
he couldn't go out. I don't know if she had a phobia, but her food was delivered, and I believe...
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Above his restaurant or something, and I think she was kind of famous, wasn't she?
Who was she, George? You remember her now?
Yeah, I remember who she... I think I do.
Okay, who was it?
Anne St. Germain.
Oh, okay. Well, tell that story. The caller wants to hear it again.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you. All right, well, let's hear about Anne St. Germain.
Oh, you don't want to know about Anne St. Germain.
Well, she wouldn't go outside. Did she have a phobia or something?
I think so, but you know what? That was back in the 40s. 40s and the 50s. Anne St. Germain eventually moved to Columbus. She was in Marion. She lived, what reminded me, that lady said she lived above the restaurant. She lived above our restaurant. Not the Kagan Vine, the home restaurant, 176 South Main Street. Above there, the building, the name is still on it, Balsinger, the Balsinger Building. The Balsinger Building back in the 30s and the 40s, Henry Balsinger was a friend of Henry True. Henry True and Henry Balsinger. Henry True would come down every day to Henry Balsinger's restaurant. When we came to Marion, we bought Henry Balsinger's restaurant because he wanted to sell it. In the Balsinger Building, which is at 176 South Main Street, upstairs is where she had this beautiful apartment. Oh, my God. She had gold-trimmed things, and she had money. Her name was Anne St. Germain, and she... I used to fix her hair. I used to take her lunch up every day. She would call downstairs, wherever, 11:30, 12, 12:31. Whenever she felt like she wanted food, I would take it food up. And I couldn't believe it. And then in the late 50s, to mid to late 50s, she moved to Columbus. And guess where she stayed? The Neal House.
Oh.
Right across from the State
House.
Uh-huh.
Now, did you ever know why she didn't leave the apartment? She'd get all dressed up, but wouldn't go out.
Oh, no, would get dressed up, never go out. She wore the most beautiful clothes. The drapes in her apartment, the bathroom, the worst thing, when I'd go get towels for her or whatever I got for her. All that was like gold. I couldn't believe the
money. She had money.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did the Trues have something to do with her?
Oh, Henry too knew her. Oh,
he
yeah.
Knew her.
They
so,
knew each other. But
was she a business person? Was she a... She had money from something.
Maybe she got it from Henry True. I don't know.
But she did eventually... How old a lady would she have been when you knew her?
Probably in her 50s.
Anne St. Germain.
Yeah.
But you just knew that you had to take her food up there and do her hair.
Yeah.
But she would not go out.
That was quite a name.
Anne St. Germain. Yeah, that's a... when she left, did she take all the gold with her?
I think she did because she hooked up with some state people in the governor's office. Secretary of State, she was very friendly with the Secretary of State back then, and I remember his name. Oh, God. She ended up with who was governor back then? Not Rhodes. Rhodes wasn't governor yet. I can't come up with.
Well, we're out of time. The time goes by so fast. But George will be back in January on the fourth Thursday, and we'll continue this. But so we've got Anne Saint Germain, who didn't leave her apartment. We've got Virgil Dye, who was the manager of the Harding Hotel, who jumped off the roof. And we've got what was the gentleman's name who's still in prison for shooting somebody out at the
George Skates. Well,
if you want to go visit him on visiting day.
No, I'm not going
to. You're not going to go say hello to him. It's home. Well, George, I'm so glad you were able to come in this morning.
Thank you, Scott. What a pleasure.
Happy 2022, and we will see George in 2022 next month, fourth Thursday in January at 9:10 a.m. Glenn Coble's coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott? Oh, wow. Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you the